You're listening to the Odyssey Las Vegas Public Affairs Show. I'm Heather Vail, and I'm speaking with Rachel Rickman, founder of 500 Projects of Love. The organization has a variety of fundraising events happening to kick off the summer season with a mission to inspire and empower others to make an impact in the homeless community. Rachel, thank you so much for being here today.
Hi, Heather. Thank you so much for having me. I'm excited to be able to have the opportunity to talk about 500 Projects of Love and why what we do is so important.
Yeah, well, what is 500 Projects of Love for those who haven't heard of it?
So 500 Projects of Love is the nonprofit that I founded in 2020. We've been running it much longer than that, actually, but it only became an official 501c in 2020. And what we do is we go out and we help the homeless community. We put together between 100 and 200 plates every month for the community. We put together hygiene bags that we like to call our Holidays of Hope gift bags, including items that people need and that they request. And just really important that we let the homeless community, I like to refer to this community as our homeless friends. It kind of just makes it feel personal. We just want them to know that we're there for them and that somebody cares.
What inspired you to start the organization in the first place?
My dad was homeless. And prior to that, I had always had a huge knack for just wanting to give back. I grew up with a mom that was a social worker. So I just always kind of had this giving spirit in me. And I started by helping other organizations. And then when my own father became homeless, I kind of shifted the gears a little bit to focusing on homelessness, specifically hunger. I believe with how much food we have going wasted in this country, there's no reason that anybody shouldn't be able to eat. And so it was really important to me to narrow in on that and just make sure that people are provided with something as simple as basic needs being met.
Okay. And then beyond inspiring the founding, how did your dad's life journey affect the nonprofit's development?
So I think for me, growing up with a parent that was homeless, a lot of my dad's struggles were addiction. And many times I meet people doing this outreach because everything we do is street outreach based. I believe it's really important in meeting them where they're at and coming to them with zero judgment, regardless of their circumstances. And so growing up in a position where my own father was living in those elements and seeing what it did to us as a family and how we just so badly wanted to help, but didn't know what to do or didn't know how to help, kind of structured the way that I run 500 Projects of Love in making sure that the clients that I serve were meeting their needs, or at least trying to.
Okay. And then what happened when your dad passed away?
So my dad passed away in 2019, and I get chills every time I share this story because it's, I think it's a really important story that's kind of part of how 500 Projects of Love really solidified becoming a 501c3, because we had done this work for many, many years prior, but it was kind of just unofficial. And when my dad passed away, this was in our 11th year of being operational, but like unofficially. And my dad's birthday was November 20th. And he passed away. Like I said, I get chills every time I share this, but he passed away on his birthday. My dad passed away on November 20th of 2019, which was his 60th birthday. And at the time of his passing, I was on a bus coming back to Las Vegas from California. My dad had been on hospice prior, so I'd been in California for some time with him. And I was on a bus heading back to Vegas because I was helping another nonprofit for Thanksgiving with a really big event where we had rented a U-Haul truck. We'd collected thousands of donations for them. Crazy thing is I had inventoried what we collected, and it was close to around 11,000 items. And while I'm on that bus coming back, I get the call that my dad took his last breath. And the time of death was 11:20 p.m. on 11:20.
Wow.
What gives me more chills when I share this story and the impact of this is where we were at on the bus, there were no more stops. The driver didn't stop at all until we got back into Vegas. But of course, I'm an emotional mess. I'm not sitting on this bus. What am I going to do? So I immediately get out of my seat and go to the driver. And I tell the driver, I need off this bus. What do I do? And we approach the sign as the driver's driving that says Baker, 11 miles away. 500 Projects of Love became an official 501c3 in our 11th year of operation. And I'm really big into the meaning of numbers. I'm really big into numerology. The number 11 is the angel's number. And I truly believe that this was my dad's way of saying everything is coming together. All this community outreach with other organizations, you've organized donation drives, you've volunteered your time, you've helped other people become 501c3s, you've done all these things. Now it's time for you to do this on your own and to give back to the community in the way that you feel is going to make the most impact. And that is when 500 Projects of Love became official.
Wow. That's incredible. That's an amazing story. It's fantastic how something that could be negative turned into something so positive.
I absolutely always try and see the positive in everything. I've struggled for a long time myself with mental illness, and running 500 Projects of Love has been healing for me in a lot of ways as well. And a lot of times the clients that I meet at our outreach, I meet people all the time that are struggling with mental illness. I meet people all the time that are struggling with addiction. And I'm able to use my story personally, but my dad's story as well, to share with them and just to let them know that they're not alone, that there are people that care.
Yeah, that's fantastic. Now, you mentioned some of your past activities, but what are some of your upcoming fundraising events with 500 Projects of Love?
So we're actually working on a couple of different fundraisers right now. June will be 4 years that we've been operational as a 501c3. And, you know, inflation, I know, is hard for everyone right now. Times are tough. The nonprofit is kind of at that breaking point where we don't know what the future looks like. And that's just complete transparency, because I always try and be transparent with everybody when I talk about 500 Projects of Love. And so we're at a point now where we're just trying to see what works. We did a partnership with an organization that's actually just kicked off yesterday, a partnership that I'm really excited to put out there and be able to talk about. It's a campaign with an organization called 100X Causes. And what they do is they partner with nonprofits, and you get people to provide feedback on different brands. And so, like, a perfect example could be Starbucks. And somebody will go into the platform, they sign up on the platform, and they're giving their feedback on their interaction with Starbucks. How many times a day do they go? How many times a week do they go? Do they buy the same products? What time of day do they go? What do they purchase? It's just kind of trying to create this feedback for these brands. And what 100X Causes does is they take all this data, and that's how these companies do this research for their products and their brands. They pay the nonprofit $1.60 per piece of feedback that people can complete for me, up to 75 pieces of feedback per person. So this is a really huge opportunity, because one person could help us raise $120 just by providing 75 pieces of feedback for us. And it does not cost them a single penny to do so. It's just a matter of their time and actually being able to sign up. And they can find all the information on how to sign up on our social media platforms, which is 500 Projects of Love on both Facebook and Instagram.
Okay, cool. And then you have some other fundraisers like Dine and Donate coming up on May 20th?
We do. So we've also partnered with Black Bear Diner, and we're doing a fundraiser in Las Vegas at their Sahara location. On Monday, May 20th, anyone that goes in and dines that day at that location only, they will donate 20% of proceeds, excluding any alcoholic beverages, but 20% of everybody that comes in and dines that day will go back to 500 Projects of Love. You can also order online and pick up your order at that location. And there is a code if you order online that you have to bring in with you that will be posted on our social media as well so that people will have access to that to be able to print it out.
Nice. Okay. And then what are you doing for World Hunger Day and National Hunger Awareness Day in June?
So we have a couple things that we're trying to work on. I think these are really important days to focus on, considering that our mission is to help the homeless, to help end hunger. We can't let those days pass without doing anything. But we're hoping to do a social media campaign that just kind of gets people involved and creates content that helps spread the message.
Okay. And then tell us about your virtual Christmas in July.
So this is something else that we're really excited about. We've been working on this really hard for the last couple of months. Effective July 1st through July 31st, we will be running a virtual Christmas in July auction where participants will have the opportunity to bid on a variety of items. We've got some really cool celebrity memorabilia that I'm really excited about. We've got some jewelry. We've got some really nice trips, some local services. We're also working still currently on getting even more items to add to this. So we're just really hoping that this will be a successful event, as we hope all of our events will be, to fundraise and raise some money so that we can continue our mission and that we can continue going out into the community and making an impact and making a difference, because our homeless friends do depend on us. And we're just trying everything in our power to not have to close our doors and to keep fighting and to keep going and to do our part in the community to make a difference.
Okay, awesome. Now you've got these fundraising events where people can easily take part, the 100X fundraiser, the Black Bear Diner, Dine and Donate on May 20th. But then also, you know, sometimes listeners might want to make a monetary donation or donate their time as a volunteer. So what kind of help do you need to make a difference with 500 Projects of Love?
Absolutely. And there's always opportunities for that. Anyone that's interested in donating, they can always donate through our website, which is 500projectsoflove.org. They can also, again, follow our social media. I tend to post a lot of volunteer opportunities or a lot of our daily, monthly outreach needs on our social media platforms. One of the best ways to get involved in volunteering, we go out once a month and we prepare the meals ourselves. So I could always use all hands on deck to help us with cooking and prepping, getting everything ready. When we go out into the community, as I mentioned previously, we are very street outreach based. That's really important that we go to them and meet them where they're at. We've worked up to having over 72 locations that we drop supplies off. Not all at one time, that'd be crazy, but we spread it out, you know, every month. You know, in one month, we could drive around and hit 15 to 20 locations in one day. So having people go out with us that are willing to drive with us and just be, you know, a presence and help us when we're handing out our Holidays of Hope gift bags, help us with getting the food ready, and just going out into the community and just being that light is extremely helpful. We also could always use help with putting together the gift bags when we make them. We do gift bags 5 times a year. We do these bags for Valentine's Day, Easter, once in the summer months. We're getting ready to go out with bags again in June. And then we also do the bags in October and then in December. And we do 150 bags each time. We were doing 500, but unfortunately had to scale back quite a bit. But I can always use help with getting these bags put together, assembling them, helping pick up donations, cooking, just helping us raise awareness and helping us with our programs.
Okay. So lots of opportunities to help out 500 Projects of Love. If you want to volunteer or make a donation, 500projectsoflove.org is the main website. 500projectsoflove.org, but you can also find out what they're doing and keep up with all the fundraising events and volunteer opportunities on social media. So that's 500 Projects of Love on both Facebook and Instagram, facebook.com/500projectsoflove, instagram.com/500projectsoflove. And some of the things they do have coming up, we've got the 100X fundraiser, which is happening throughout May and into early June. You can find the information there on the social media pages. So the 100X fundraiser, all you have to do is give feedback on various products and money gets donated to 500 Projects of Love without you having to donate anything. And then we've also got on May 20th, Dine and Donate at Black Bear Diner, the Sahara location. And if you want the code to make that donation happen with ordering online and picking up, that is also available on the social media pages. Also keep an eye out, May 28th is World Hunger Day, June 6th is National Hunger Awareness Day, and June is Hunger Awareness Month. So 500 Projects of Love will be doing some fundraising or awareness events around those days. And then we've got virtual Christmas in July coming up, obviously in July. And again, you can keep track of all that or find out what's going on social media, Facebook and Instagram, 500 Projects of Love, or 500projectsoflove.org. And we've been speaking today with Rachel Rickman. She's the founder of 500 Projects of Love. And Rachel, it's amazing what you've been doing in the community for well over a decade and, you know, still going. All those lives that you impact on a monthly basis with the homeless outreach, the food, the meals you're delivering, the gift bags, all of it. Fantastic work. So I really appreciate you being here, telling us more about it and giving some ways for the community to get involved in helping out as well. So thank you so much for being here, Rachel.
Thank you for having me, Heather. And thank you for giving me the opportunity and this platform to be able to share our story and what we do and why it's important, and to hopefully continue doing exactly what our mission is, you know, inspiring and empowering others to help make a difference in the homeless community. That's my goal always.
My dad, he's a double amputee, and he's one of my favorite people in the world. To me, a hero is someone who fights for our country and freedom.
My dad is a hero.
Those who are troops built this house, and it's basically made for him. My dad can get through the wide doorways.
When he is making our lunch, he can reach anything we need.
He'll help me build tiny projects.
Life is good here.
Without Homes for Our Troops, we'd be living in a home that didn't have all these features that helped him.
Homes for Our Troops builds and donates specially adapted custom homes nationwide for severely injured post 9/11 veterans and enables them to rebuild their lives.
If they get a new house like this one, it'll help them like do normal life.
My dad's not just a hero, he's my hero.
Join our mission at hfotusa.org.
You're listening to the Odyssey Las Vegas Public Affairs Show. I'm Heather Vale, and I'm speaking with Dina Mitchell, founder of the Power Soul Cafe. The world's first certified gluten-free fast food restaurant chain with vegan and keto options and a mission to give back to the community will be opening a new location in Henderson soon and holding another fundraising drive for the Boys and Girls Clubs of Southern Nevada. Dina, thank you so much for being here today.
Thank you. I appreciate the opportunity to talk about the love of my life, Power Soul.
So what inspired you to start Power Soul Cafe?
Well, I have a 15 years experience with my former brand, and I took 7 years off traveling the world when I sold that, thinking of my new idea, ultimately with the goal of how can I do better? I was already successful at what I did before, but how can I do better? At the end of the day, or 7 years, what I realized is there was a gap, a huge gap, adhering to and appreciating and respecting people's allergies, and most importantly, certified gluten-free. It was just something that has not been done. And there are so many people that have celiac disease or have a wheat allergy or sensitive to gluten or maybe it's just a dairy allergy, who are not respected, that are kind of like always an inconvenience, who are almost in a way treated like second-class citizens because they have an allergy that makes them sick or sends them to the hospital or just makes them not feel good, whatever it is. Instead of being respected for that, and you know what, let me go out of my way as a restaurateur to either create a menu or to take steps and precautions to protect them. That was not done. And I don't know why. I have an idea, because it's hard. But that is what I decided to do. And that is my commitment. And it's so hard to do, but it's so worth it and needs to be done. That's a long-winded answer to say that it needed to be done.
Yeah, I agree. I've always wondered why there aren't fast food restaurants or even, you know, faster food restaurants, not necessarily fast food, but places that you can walk up and order something and get it gluten-free or get it, you know, dairy-free or keto or whatever. So it's pretty cool that you've actually opened. How many locations are there right now?
So we have two open right now. Calico in Henderson will open in around a month, and then we're working on our fourth location. And you know what? You touched on something that I think I need to clarify. So I've always said healthy fast food, certified gluten-free with vegan and keto options. Fast food, meaning we're not Michelin star. Fast food, meaning you can't sit down and dine. It's takeaway. And maybe I should just change it, takeaway. We offer a drive-through as a convenience. It doesn't mean that we can nail this stuff in 1 minute or less, but we try so hard to get every single order out in 5 minutes. And I think people have the perception that it needs to be 1 or 2 minutes. And we try our hardest. But the reality is our pizzas take 2 minutes and 15 seconds to cook. So if somebody mixes in smoothies, pizzas, this, that, whatever, there is a time that the drive-thru may take 15 minutes. And I understand not everyone has 15 minutes to go to the drive-thru, but yes, fast food because we're not sit-down. It's 100% takeout. Fast food because we have corn dogs, we have chicken nuggets, we have cookies, we have like random, eclectic, but it's all certified gluten-free. And we try our best to get it out. So I guess I just want to say that. I guess I need help in trying to figure out
how to word it.
What's the best? Yeah. How do I say that? Do I say healthy, faster food like you say? Or do I say healthy takeaway food with a drive-through? I mean, what do I say?
That's a great question. But I get it. I get what you're saying. And I think it's cool. So Henderson is opening soon. And the other two locations are where?
Warm Springs and Cimarron and Valley View and Spring Mountain. It's right at the very beginning of Chinatown, but they're all 24 hours.
Nice. Okay. Now, why did you decide to give back to the Boys and Girls Clubs of Southern Nevada?
I have been on the board, I think, 12 or 13 years. There was a time when I was on many boards. And after, first of all, realizing there was more events than there were days of the week, I realized I really needed to zero in on which ones meant the most to me. They all do. Boys and Girls Club always resonated. It has a lot to do with the organization, who's running the organization, how it's run, and at the end of the day, what we're doing. Because as we all know, kids are our future. And I love nothing more than to be a part of some sort of inspiration for them or guidance or help. Like being on the board, I love it anytime I go to an event at the Boys and Girls Club and I get to hang out with some of the kids. And the girls are impressed that a woman's on the board. And I'm like, well, why not? Like, and they're like, wow, that's just so cool that a woman's on the board. I'm like, just because we're women doesn't mean that we are lesser than. Maybe I have to try a little bit harder. Maybe I have to break through glass ceilings. But I am an equal just the same as a man. And in many ways, there's plus and minuses each way. So Boys and Girls Club resonates with me. Probably forever and ever will resonate with me because it touches the kids, the organization, how we use the money. It brings tears to my eyes talking to some of the kids on, for example, our Girls Day Out, where you get to spend a couple hours with like a 9-year-old and you have lunch with them and you play games and you sit down. This is a real life experience. I'm sitting down with this girl and I'm like, oh, so how was your day? How's your mom and dad? Oh, my mom's good. You know, she's always at work. You know what? How about your dad? Well, he's in jail in Florida. I get to see him sometimes. And my point is this. It didn't faze her. She didn't know that was a bad situation. She literally just was just telling me a story. Right then, every single one of my problems meant nothing. And that just is a life changer. I guess I just love Boys and Girls Club and what they do for boys and girls.
Yeah, they're a fantastic organization. So what are the various ways that you support the Boys and Girls Clubs of Southern Nevada through Power Soul Cafe?
Several ways. We have something called smoothie suppresso, which comes from this term in Napoli, Italy, cafe suppresso, means buy one, keep one suspended for somebody in need. That is when they can buy any one of our smoothies and then pay an additional $5 that we give to Boys and Girls Club. Our bottles of water, they're aluminum. They can be recycled, reusable. We donate 25 cents of every sale of bottled water to Boys and Girls Club. For right now, every one of our grand openings, the last two grand openings, we had 7 days of free. Free smoothies, free food, not samples, full size, for a donation to Boys and Girls Club. And then what I really love, because Power Soul, the name, means so much to me, our employees have two opportunities a year to go and volunteer at Boys and Girls Club, to understand what it means, to understand what they do, and to help create Power Souls in them for volunteering. And I think that's it. There might be other ways, but those are the main ways that I have included Boys and Girls Club in Power Soul.
Nice. Okay. And how much did you raise at the Chinatown location opening?
In total, over $18,000 between the two locations.
That's fantastic. And then you're going to have another Boys and Girls Club fundraiser when you open the Henderson location?
We had 7 days, 24 hours, where we gave away all of the food. The employees donated their tips for 7 days. All we asked in return were people made a donation. We started off by saying a dollar or more donation. Unfortunately, there was a couple of people that kind of read through lines and figured out, long story short, they would order $100 of food and they would give five. So we need to kind of come up with another idea of how to do that where it's fair, because we're giving all this. We just ask that the public gives back. We're giving them a way to give back and reward them at the same time. So to be determined exactly what the deal will be on three, but it will be free for a donation and it will be benefiting Boys and Girls Club.
Nice. Okay. So where can people go if they want to find out more information about Power Soul Cafe, if they want to find out about the grand opening for the Henderson location that's coming up, or just check it out and order something from one of your locations?
Probably the easiest answer would be our Instagram, where we actually is the only place we announce in the stories. Only in the stories, we announce special happy hours, and it'll be something free. It'll be a 2-for-1, and it's only there. It's not a coupon. It's not on Facebook. It's not anywhere else. It's Instagram. Otherwise, general information, and there's a lot, is our website, and that powersoulcafe.com.
And on Instagram, it's at powersoulcafe?
It is. Yep.
Awesome. Okay, perfect. So once again, powersoulcafe.com is the main website. If you want to find out more about Power Soul Cafe, again, it's the world's first certified gluten-free, kind of fast food, takeout anyway, restaurant chain with vegan and keto options and a mission to give back to the community. So powersoulcafe.com. There's already two locations in the Vegas Valley, Chinatown and Summerlin, with a third opening in Henderson soon. And you can also follow them on Instagram. Check out their Instagram stories at Power Soul Cafe on Instagram. And we've been speaking today with Dina Mitchell. She's the founder of the Power Soul Cafe. And Dina, I want to thank you so much for letting us know more about this new restaurant that you have here in the Valley, the great things you're doing, how it's different, and what you're doing for the community as well. So I really appreciate you being here today. Thank you so much.
Heather, I really, really, really appreciate you. Thank you.
Why are interscholastic sports called the last classroom of the day? Because they teach students important life lessons like teamwork, accountability, and perseverance. School sports are so much more than a game. They're about developing the whole person. That's why they're an essential part of every student's education.
Encourage your student to participate in the last classroom of the day. Interscholastic sports in Nevada. This message presented by the NIAA and the Nevada Athletics Directors Association.
I'm Heather Vail, and you're listening to the Odyssey Las Vegas Public Affairs Show. Joining me is Tom Kreitler, co-host of the nationally syndicated radio show The Money Pit and author of My Home, My Money Pit, Your Guide to Every Home Improvement Adventure. Spring is a great time to tackle home improvement, and new technology can make it even better. Tom, thank you so much for being here today.
Hey, Heather, it's great to be here.
So what are some of the best ways to upgrade our homes this season?
Well, there's some really nice products come out this time of year because spring is really the home improvement season. And one is a product called Trex Rain Escape. If you're looking to increase the space in your backyard and you have an elevated deck, very often the area underneath the deck is sort of moist and damp and hard to use. But if you add an underdeck drainage system, that area can be used for pretty much anything. So the way this works is it's a system of troughs and downspouts that's designed to be installed on top of the floor joist and below the decking. So it protects all of the wood structure. And as it rains, that water is collected and then it runs down and out to the ground and out to the lot. Basically, once you do that, you can do anything you want to the area underneath. If you'd like to have an outdoor kitchen or an outdoor living space of any sort, you can do that.
Wow, cool. Okay. What are some ways that we could save on energy costs?
Well, you know, as power outages are becoming more increasingly common across the country, having backup power is more important than ever. And the first part of that is usually having a backup generator. But today it's gone beyond that because of energy storage systems. For example, Briggs & Stratton has a new system called Simplify, which is a battery system that gives reliable backup power for homeowners and small businesses. And the way these systems work is they kick on automatically when they sense a power outage. They can also be controlled by an app, so you can actually provide power to homes at specific times. For example, utility companies in your area might charge higher rates at certain times of the day. It's called demand pricing. And when that happens, you can have the battery system kick in and basically replace the grid to supply power. It's a good time to look into these systems because the batteries are now less expensive and there's many state and local incentives. Plus, federally, there's a 30% tax credit that's possible through the Inflation Reduction Act. So Briggs & Stratton is the brand behind the Simplify system, and they've been doing this for 115 years. So you kind of have power generation down pat. Good reason to take a look at that if you're considering it. And also, if you have an electric water heater, that is, as you may know, of course, those of us that do have them do know, it's pretty much one of the most expensive appliances in the house to operate. So a good thing to look at is a heat pump water heater as an alternative. Rheem has developed one that's four times more efficient than the electric standard tank water heater. It's called Rheem Performance Platinum. It's a hybrid electric heat pump water heater, and it can actually deliver about $315 of savings per year over the cost of running an electric water heater. So that's over $3,000 over the 10-year life of a typical water heater. So that's something that you'll find at Home Depot. Another neat feature for this, since you're in such a warm part of the country, is this water heater also emits cold air, so it can be ducted and supplement your air conditioning in summer.
Oh, that's cool. Now, when you're talking about the backup battery power systems, typically I hear about people pairing those with a solar system. And, you know, solar is very popular around here anyway. Is that the best way to utilize that?
So you have options. You can pair them with a solar system. So the solar panels are always charging up your batteries first. Secondly, you could recharge them off of a generator, or they could be recharged off of a grid. So you have options in how you basically repower these.
Cool. Okay. Now, smoke detectors are obviously crucially important. And, you know, we need to have them in every room. But when there's false alarms and you get those low battery chirps, it can be pretty annoying. I've even been known to just rip it off the ceiling instead of trying to, you know, replace the battery properly. But I am looking for new smoke detectors, and there's just so many new options that it's kind of overwhelming. So what's the best solution that you've found?
So First Alert has a new system of alarms coming out called Precision Detection. They're developed because smoke alarm standards are actually being updated to improve fire safety in modern homes. It turns out that modern homes actually can burn faster than older homes. And so this, in addition to the nuisance alarms, is the reason the technology was developed. So it does two things. It provides you an earlier warning in the event of a home fire emergency. And secondly, it specifically is designed to reduce those nuisance alarms. Because as you've learned yourself, it's the number one reason people disable alarms. And it's a really bad idea to disable your smoke alarms, no matter how frustrating it is. They also include some very helpful features, like, for example, voice location alert, which announces fire location, interconnection, which means if one detector goes off, they all alarm, even though they're battery powered and wireless. And speaking of batteries, you no longer have to replace the batteries in these detectors. They come with a 10-year sealed battery. So basically, it works for the life of the alarm. After 10 years, you remove and replace the alarm with a new one. So lots of great reasons to look again at upgrading or adding to your existing smoke alarms.
Yeah, that's fantastic. So when you're talking about smart detector, I remember I disabled the one in the kitchen because it was too close to the oven. And every time I cooked, it went off. Like, no question. It wouldn't matter. Make a pizza, alarm goes off. So are they now smarter at detecting, hey, you know what? That's just regular cooking.
That's just Heather. We've found this before and we're not going to alarm. Now, they actually are. That's the nuisance alarm feature. They're better at detecting those nuisance alarms so that people don't find it necessary to remove their smoke detectors as you have done.
Okay, awesome. So where can people go for more information about technology upgrades for the spring season without having to turn our homes into a money pit?
Yeah. So you can go to our website for starters, moneypit.com. We've got 5 posts right on the homepage about new products for spring covering what I talked about. And also one more I'll mention quickly because it's very frustrating to people. And that is when their toilet starts to run and doesn't flush properly. It's hard to find parts sometimes. You end up going back to the home center or hardware store a dozen times. Fluidmaster fixed that. There's a new product called the Everything Toilet Tank Repair Kit. And everything you need to completely basically build a new toilet from the inside out is in this kit for like under $30. So very worthwhile picking it up because it's got all the valves, all the parts, all guaranteed to work together. Plus, Fluidmaster is really good at education and they've got terrific videos that show a DIYer how to do this project themselves and what's going on with your toilet.
Wow, fantastic. Okay. So once again, moneypit.com is the website to go to, moneypit.com. You can find out more about spring upgrades for home improvement season, new technology, new advancements that can save you money, save you time, and they're pretty cool. So moneypit.com. And of course, we've been speaking with Tom Kreitler. He's the co-host of the nationally syndicated radio show, The Money Pit, and also author of My Home, My Money Pit, Your Guide to Every Home Improvement Adventure. Tom, it's been great speaking with you and finding out more about these new upgrades. I know I'm going to implement a few of them in my home right away. So thank you so much for being here today.
Thank you, Heather, and happy spring.
A tree can be a warrior, battling global challenges with greater courage. A tree can be a solution, cleaning our air, supporting our communities, and protecting our wildlife. A tree can be noble, growing hope in every corner of the world. That's why now is the time for trees. Millions of trees. Join our planting movement at arborday.org.
I'm Heather Vail, and this is the Odyssey Las Vegas Public Affairs Show. Joining me is Dr. Jennifer Taylor, Senior Medical Director for Humana. More than 4 million Americans will turn 65 this year and become eligible for Medicare. Dr. Taylor is an expert in navigating the overwhelming Medicare system and understands the specific healthcare needs of seniors. Dr. Taylor, thank you so much for being here today.
You're welcome. Thank you for having me.
So what advice do you have for people who are about to become eligible for Medicare for the first time?
My best advice is to start your research early. It's important to understand all the different types of Medicare so you can make a decision that's based on your own personal needs. I'd also recommend that you understand further details about Medicare, like original Medicare covers hospital stays and doctor's visits, but there's a deductible for each, and you're responsible for 20% of the cost. Whereas Medicare Advantage covers hospital visits, doctor's visits, and can cover prescription drugs at no extra cost. Plus, there's a yearly cap on out-of-pocket expenses.
Okay, so can you walk us through between Original Medicare and Medicare Advantage? Where would they sign up for Original Medicare? Where would they sign up for Medicare Advantage? And kind of what are the pros and cons of each?
The best source of information is Medicare.gov. So that's where I would direct everyone for their questions about Medicare Original and Medicare Advantage. With Original Medicare, you get coverage for hospital stays, doctor's visits. You have Part D, which covers prescription drugs. And then you can purchase a supplemental plan that covers expenses that traditional Medicare does not cover. Whereas with Medicare Advantage, you get coverage for hospital stays, doctor's visits. You can have prescription drug coverage at no extra cost, depending on the plan. And there are other benefits. Plus, there's a yearly cap on out-of-pocket expenses.
Okay, so is Medicare Advantage available through private healthcare providers, whereas Original Medicare is available directly through the government?
Absolutely. You hit it right on the head.
Okay, perfect. But that raises a question. You know, people do find it complicated to navigate the Medicare system. So why is it so complicated?
Well, there's lots of different parts to Medicare. There's Part A, B, there's lots of alphabets involved, and each letter represents a different layer of coverage. And for somebody who does not work in this sector, that's a lot of new information. So that's why it seems pretty complicated.
Yeah, okay. Now, how important is it for seniors on Medicare to have a primary care provider?
That is really important because having a doctor that knows you, your personal history, and your own personal risk factors, that can make a huge difference in your quality of life and longevity.
Okay. Now, if someone does not currently have a primary care provider and they're going to start with Medicare, what would you recommend they consider when it comes to making that choice as to who their primary care provider is going to be going forward?
Well, thankfully, your insurance provider can help you connect with doctors in your area that accept your plan. And there's always Medicare.gov to fall back on. At Humana, we recommend that our Medicare Advantage members try to find a primary doctor that offers value-based care, because value-based care offers more frequent and longer visits. So you get more time to ask your questions, your doctor gets a chance to know you better, and gets to know social factors that might impact your health. So once they have that primary care doctor, schedule an annual wellness visit. And there you can talk to your doctor about what preventative services are right for you. Screenings make a real difference. And the other thing I'd recommend is that people read up and understand their Medicare benefits. For example, Part B covers things you may not realize, like smoking cessation.
Okay. Now, how can things like loneliness and social isolation impact the health of seniors, both physical and mental health?
Social isolation impacts as many as 43% of seniors, and it puts them at high risk of challenges. Loneliness can cause increased mental health issues, and it also actually increases death rates. It causes worse outcomes in common conditions like heart disease, and it can lead to stroke and dementia. So at Humana, we try to look at the whole person and we try to identify people who might be at risk of social isolation. And we try to get them plugged in with community resources and make sure that they're maximizing their Medicare Advantage benefits.
Okay, awesome. So you did mention Medicare.gov. Is that the all-encompassing place where people can go to learn more about Original Medicare and about Medicare Advantage as well?
That is the best resource. And then for information about Humana's offerings, they can go to humana.com.
Okay, perfect. So once again, Medicare.gov is the official Medicare website from the government. You can find out more about Original Medicare there, which is issued by Medicare.gov, and also Medicare Advantage, which is an option you can get through private healthcare providers. Humana is one of them. So if you go to humana.com, you can also find out what their Medicare Advantage offerings are and how it might be a better choice. So once again, Medicare.gov. And Humana.com. And we've been speaking today with Dr. Jennifer Taylor. She's the Senior Medical Director for Humana. And Dr. Taylor, I want to thank you so much for being here and helping us navigate through this system with some great tips and advice for seniors. So I really appreciate your time. Thank you so much.
Thank you for having me.
Mom's early Alzheimer's diagnosis was hard to take.
And when I left the oven on, we decided together that it was time to see a doctor and make a plan.
Early detection gave us more time to seek out information and support as a family.
If you or your family are noticing changes, it could be Alzheimer's. Talk about seeing a doctor together. For more information, visit alz.org/timetotalk. A message from the Alzheimer's Association and the Ad Council.
This is the Odyssey Las Vegas Public Affairs Show. I'm Heather Vail, and I'm speaking with Vic Armstrong, VP of Health Equity at the American Foundation for Suicide Prevention. May is Mental Health Awareness Month, and the American Foundation for Suicide Prevention is urging us to recognize the warning signs for suicide and talk away the dark. Vic, thank you so much for being here today.
Thank you for having me.
So what is the American Foundation for Suicide Prevention?
Our mission is to save lives and bring hope to those impacted by suicide. We are the nation's largest mental health prevention organization and the world's largest private funder of suicide research. We have chapters in all 50 states, plus Washington, D.C. and Puerto Rico. So we actually have a chapter right here in Nevada.
Nice. Okay. How common is suicide in the U.S.?
We've seen an increase in suicide the last year. We know that any death, even one death to suicide, is too many. But we've seen an increase from 2021 to 22 of about 50,000. And that's about a 3% increase from 2021 to 2022. The flip side of that, though, is that while we have seen this increase, we also understand suicide better now than we did 5 years ago. So we understand better how to create the resources and how to encourage folks to have the conversations and how to reach some of the communities that we haven't reached in the past. So while the numbers have gone up, I think our reach and our expertise in how to address it has also increased.
Yeah. Okay. So on that note, what is your Talk Away the Dark campaign?
Talk Away the Dark campaign, it depicts a conversation with someone who is experiencing suicidal thoughts, but they're not opening up and talking about it. And so it really gives you an illustration of how you can engage someone in conversation when you recognize the warning signs, how you can have a caring conversation and then connect that person to help. We also, along with our Talk Away the Dark campaign, we have our Real Convo Guides, which are a step-by-step resource for how you can start and continue conversations about mental health and suicide. Again, how you can initiate the conversation and then have them reach out for help. And in that same space at afsp.org/talkawaythedark, we also have our new Real Convo Guide on connecting someone to help when they are hesitant, because oftentimes people may say, I don't want to do therapy, I've been in therapy before, or I don't want to go into the hospital. I'm afraid to call 988 because I don't want a law enforcement response. And so this convo guide gives you guidelines on how to have those conversations with people who may be hesitant to have the conversation or to seek help.
Okay. Now, before we have that conversation, you did mention getting to know the warning signs. So what are the warning signs that someone may need more help or is really struggling?
Yeah, it's important to know that while you may not notice any warning signs, oftentimes people will reach out for help in ways that make sense to them, but don't really resonate with us. So we encourage you to look for warning signs in three different ways, either changes in talk, changes in mood, or changes in behavior. Changes in talk could be things like someone saying, I don't want to be here anymore. Someone saying, I want to die. If someone says they're thinking about suicide, always take talk on suicide very seriously. Changes in behavior can be things like someone who is getting involved in more risk-taking behavior, someone who has increased their drug or alcohol use, someone who is doing things outwardly that give you concern. Then changes in mood would be things like someone who is all of a sudden tearful. They're sad when they've been more upbeat, or someone who's been sad in the past. All of a sudden, they seem elated. That may be someone who has decided that my troubles are over because I'm not going to be here tomorrow. So you want to look for those changes in talk and behavior and mood. And then you want to be able to have a conversation with them openly and honestly. We encourage you to ask someone if you suspect they're thinking about suicide, to ask them clearly, concisely, compassionately. There's often concern that if you ask someone about their suicidal thoughts, that you're going to put the thoughts in their head. Research says that's not the case. Actually, by asking them, you open the door for them to be able to talk about their feelings. And so we encourage, if you see those warning signs, have the conversation. And there are guidelines around how you do that. You want to talk with them in private. You want to listen and hear what their story is and what's going on with them, and let them know that you care about what's going on with them, and then encourage them to seek treatment.
Okay. So once we've had that conversation and we recognize some warning signs or red flags, how do we encourage our loved ones to seek help without coming across like we're being pushy or overstepping?
Well, one of the things you can do when you recognize the warning signs, you can speak directly to the behavior that you're seeing. I know sometimes it's hard for people to get into that conversation. So you can say to them, I noticed that you are more tearful than you've been in the past. Is there something going on with you? And this is something we should have conversation about. It's also helpful to normalize the conversation. Like sometimes I may say to someone when I think they're having struggles, I may say to them, other people who have gone through what you're going through had thoughts of suicide. Are you having thoughts of suicide? That normalizes it for them. And then if they are, it also makes it easier for me then to say, let's see if we can get you connected to someone who you can talk to about what you're going through. So you want to really have that conversation in a way that doesn't make it seem like you're shocked, that you're not alarmed, but you want to really normalize this the same way that you would if someone said, I'm having chest pains, stomach pains. You would say to them, let's get you some help. Let's see someone. We encourage you to do the same thing with someone who is experiencing thoughts of suicide.
Okay. Now, you also mentioned there's an increase in suicide in certain communities in the U.S. What communities are struggling the most?
Well, we see suicides in all communities. Where we're seeing the fastest rise in suicide is really in Black and brown communities. Even during the time when we had started to see a slight dip around 2018, 2019, pre-pandemic, we saw a rise in the Black community, Hispanic community, Native American community. We've seen increases in the AAPI community. So we're seeing increases in several different areas. But again, I think that what's different for us today is we have actually created resources that allow us to speak directly to different segments of the population. So we've created resources that speak directly to the Black and African American community, resources that speak directly to the Hispanic community. And while we are seeing increases across the board, we now have more resources that actually allow us to get more upstream and have conversations in communities where people live, work, play, and worship, and have those conversations in a way that gives them a trusted message and engaging trusted messengers in doing that.
Okay. So where can people go if they want to learn more about the Talk Away the Dark campaign and access the resources that you mentioned, including the Real Convo Guides?
You can find our Talk Away the Dark campaign and our Real Convo Guides at afsp.org/talkawaythedark. And of course, you can also go to our afsp.org website. You can find statistics on what's going on in your state. You can find resources on how you can connect with a chapter in your area, how you can get involved in a walk in your area. If you want to give to our research, you can do all of that on our website at afsp.org.
Okay, awesome. So afsp.org is the main website for the American Foundation for Suicide Prevention. That's afsp.org. And if you want to find out more about the Talk Away the Dark campaign and access the resources that Vic's been talking about, including the Real Convo Guide, so you can have that conversation with a loved one, afsp.org/talkawaythedark is the specific webpage to go to, afsp.org/talkawaythedark. And we've been speaking today with Vic Armstrong. He's the VP of Health Equity at the American Foundation for Suicide Prevention. And Vic, it's been wonderful to have you here talking about this really important topic and something that's hard for people to navigate, but you've given some great resources to hopefully make a big difference in the world. So thank you so much for being here today.
Thank you for having me.
Everyone has a community to lean on, a neighborhood, school, kids' teams, where you worship, work, work out, or any other place or group where you choose to belong. Communities can provide support when you need it, and even when you don't know you do. Like when it comes to preventing underage drinking and other substance use. You've talked with your kids and shared clear expectations, but you're not with them every minute. Your community members, friends and relatives, teachers and coaches, faith leaders, and other important adults in your kids' lives can be your eyes, ears, and a supportive influence when you're not around, reinforcing your messages with your kids and alerting you to warning signs of underage drinking or other substance use. So talk with your kids about these issues and involve the members of your community to help keep your kids safe, because when you talk, they hear you. For more information, visit talktheyhearyou.samhsa.gov.
I'm Heather Vail with the Odyssey Las Vegas Public Affairs Show, and this is your community events calendar for nonprofit initiatives and charity events around the Valley. The Nevada Partnership for Homeless Youth, or NPHY, is holding their 2024 Homecoming Gala, Celebrate the Journey Home, next Thursday, May 16th from 6:30 to 8:30 p.m. on top of the World Market Center at Worldview. Guests are encouraged to wear their best homecoming attire. Get tickets or find out more at nphy.org. That stands for Nevada Partnership for Homeless Youth, nphy.org. American Off-Road Customs and the Vegas Valley Four Wheelers Club are partnering to host the Barricade Go Topless Jeep Charity event next Saturday, May 18th, starting at 9 a.m. in the lot at Patrick Lane and Dean Martin Drive. The event will raise money for four charities: the LVMPD Foundation, Race to Erase 22, Las Vegas Pet Rescue, and the Collaboration Center Foundation. Find out more or register to attend at the Go Topless LV Facebook page. Monday's Dark with Mark Chinook is a bi-monthly musical fundraising party at The Space, with each event raising $10,000 for a specific charity in 90 minutes. Upcoming shows include Monday, May 20th at 8 p.m. benefiting Angels of Las Vegas, and Monday, June 3rd at 8 p.m. benefiting the Las Vegas Natural History Museum. Get tickets or find out more details at mondaysdark.com. That's mondaysdark.com. The City of Henderson, along with the Military Order of the Purple Heart Chapter 730, the Veterans Action Foundation, and the Green Valley Rotary Club, invite you to honor the sacrifices of U.S. military service members with a Memorial Day ceremony on Monday, May 27th at 9 a.m. at Cornerstone Park, 1600 Wigwam Parkway. A patriotic Field of Honor display featuring over 400 U.S. flags will also be on site over Memorial Day weekend, starting on Saturday, May 25th. You can sponsor a flag in memory of a loved one who served up until the May 21st deadline. Get more information or sponsor a flag at cityofhenderson.com. That's cityofhenderson.com. And Three Square's Bag Childhood Hunger Campaign is doubling its impact thanks to matching sponsors through May 31st. For every dollar donated, Three Square can now provide up to six wholesome, nutritious meals to Southern Nevada children and families in need. Find out more or make a donation at threesquare.org. That's threesquare.org.